Hi, I'm Utsav, a behavior researcher by training and a slow traveler by passion. Postcards from Nowhere is a travel podcast where I condense a decade of travel experiences and explore not just the where, but also the why and how to travel. My stories emerged from slow traveling the less explored parts of the world. Bosnia and Herzegovina, Armenia, Uzbekistan, and even China. At the end of each story, I give practical tips and new ideas about how to travel better. In February 1888, a 35-year-old man boarded a train to undertake a 16-hour journey from Paris to Arles. He had taken up painting 8 years ago after failing in his attempts to first become a teacher and then a priest. He was to remain in Arles till May 1889, which turned out to be his most prolific time as an artist. He produced approximately 200 paintings, 100 drawings, and 200 letters. If you have listened to the previous episodes, you know I'm talking about Vincent van Gogh. He believed that artists could paint a portion of the world and open the eyes of others to it. Van Gogh frequently paid tribute to other painters who allowed him to see certain colors and atmospheres. If Velázquez was his guide to gray and the coarse face of large cooks, then Monet was his guide to sunsets, Rembrandt to morning light, and the sky after a heavy rain shower reminded him of Hokusai. Had Van Gogh traveled further east into Asia, arriving in the desert lands of Uzbekistan, he would have paid tribute to the Islamic artists who bring alive another color, blue. It is hard not to be taken in by the dazzling, gorgeous, and almost radiant blues one encounters in architecture, right from Samarkand to Bukhara to Khiva. But what makes blue such an important color in Islamic art? The importance of the color struck me as we drove through the desert, as I moved from Bukhara to Khiva. I thought of the first Arab settlers who streamed out of their barren peninsula for cooler climates and richer lands. They traveled into Syria, Palestine, Morocco, southern Spain, Mesopotamia, Afghanistan, India, Indonesia, and China. I imagine them traveling under the harsh, blazing sun, moving thousands of miles on camelback as a part of a caravan. They survived on very little resources, waiting to encounter the next caravanserai to rest their tired bodies and replenish their supplies. One of the most fascinating aspects of travel is how it shows that our contexts and living conditions shape our perspectives. One of the most exalted ideas across cultures is the idea of heaven. The ancient Egyptians called it the fields of Aru, the land of eternal glory, with magnificent crops, bread and beer for eternity. In Hindus, the highest of heavens was called Vaikunth, where its denizens would fly in airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold. The forest there had wish-giving trees specially designed for its inhabitants. So, what would be heaven for the weary desert traveler? Water. For a race of people who inhabit desert lands, where no natural bodies of water remain all year, and vegetation is scarce, the colors blue and green became very important. Blue represents the life-giving water, and green represents the vibrancy of growth. Early Muslims saw oasis and acanthus plants as signs of God's benevolence, and we can see the use of these elements across Islamic art. The endless gardens of paradise, lush with succulent growth, were an immediate and meaningful symbol of the blessings of eternity. Green symbolized not just the bounty of heaven, but also the blessings promised by a loving creator and his limitless power to give and nourish life itself. The significance of these colors ran deep, and Islamic rulers across time and space recreated their desire for heaven in their architecture. Consider the following monuments. The Grand Mosque at Damascus, built in the 7th century by the Umayyad dynasty. The Topkapi Palace in Istanbul, built in the 15th century by the Ottoman Turks. And our very own Taj Mahal, built in the 17th century by the Mughals. So what is common to all these monuments? All of these have been enhanced by an extensive water garden in their midst, a recreation of heaven as envisaged by the desert origin kings. If you don't believe me, just Google pictures of the Taj Mahal and you will see a network of gardens and fountains right in front of it. Across Uzbekistan, the landscape of monuments is dotted with contrasting hues and brilliant polychrome glazes. As I remained in the endless awe of their brilliance, I was constantly reminded of the context that have shaped my travels, the lenses through which I saw history, myths, and the lives of people. These varied lenses came together harmoniously to bring to life what the senses were experiencing together. However, no words and pictures can truly encapsulate the experience of drowning yourself in the glory of the lands you travel to. As John Berger once remarked, the relation between what we see and what we know is never settled. Each evening, we see the sunset. We know that the earth is turning away from it. Yet, the knowledge, the explanation, never quite fits the sight. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I am Utsav Memoria on Twitter and YVTravel42 on Instagram.